We are back on Get Up, and we are trying to help you have a little fun during this time using the hashtag Rise and Shine. Send us the videos of the things you're doing in your home that are athletic. And how about Kellen? Get a load of the skills. Wait a minute. As he keeps that ball, hold on. Wait for it. Wait for it. Oh, and that's cash money. Kellen has got it going with both the soccer. He's a dual threat athlete, this Kellen. That's really well done. Keep those coming. Tweet them at us. Use the hashtag Rise and Shine. Caliendo will jump in and narrate some of them for you in the character of your choosing as we continue to have fun with you here. As I've said many times, I'm Greeny. I'm in Bristol. We are getting up with you every single morning, and we are going to get through all of this thing together. And here's how we're going to do it in this hour. It's time to get up with Tampa and a stunning statement from the Buccaneers head coach. One superstar is not joining TB in TB. We'll tell you which one and why, and whether or not it makes sense. Before that, LeBron James looking ahead, outlining a plan for how his team can still win a championship this year. He was talking to RJ. We'll talk to RJ as we roll on. And then his has become maybe the most popular feed on Twitter. But the story of how it came to be may absolutely shock you. Rex Chapman in this hour of Get Up, which starts right now. And it starts with Get Up and Go. Take you through the busy world of sports on this day. Roger Goodell sent a memo to every team in the league last night confirming the draft will go on as scheduled, April 23rd through the 25th. He said the NFL Management Council Executive Committee was, quote, unanimous and unequivocal that the draft should go forward as scheduled. He also warned against publicly criticizing that decision. His memo read in part, public discussion of issues relating to the draft serves no useful purpose and is grounds for disciplinary action. Everyone recognizes that the public health conditions are highly uncertain and there is no assurance that we can select a different date and be confident that conditions will be significantly more favorable than they are today. I also believe the draft can serve a very positive purpose for our clubs, our fans, and the country at large, and many of you have agreed. So they're doing the draft as scheduled. Elsewhere, baseball and the Players Association striking a deal last night on key economic issues as they hope to salvage their season. The deal covers salary advances, shortening the draft, and guaranteeing full service time even if the whole season gets canceled. That may be the most important piece. Jeff Passan explained it all last night with Scott Van Pelt.
If there are no games played this year, then Mookie Betts is still going to be a free agent this offseason. Then Trevor Bauer, Marcus Stroman, JT Realmuto, big name guys who could have missed out on a year and had their free agency delayed by a year, they're going to be out on the market. And this was a big concession from owners, but one that they wanted to make because they understood if Major League Baseball is seen as the sport that is bickering amid this crisis, it is a terrible, terrible look.
We get up and go next to the world of golf. Golf news, the New York Post reporting that the U.S. Open at Wingfoot is set to become the third major to be postponed, although the hope is that the suburban New York club can still host the event in either late summer or early September. The Open had been scheduled for June 18th through the 21st. And then the NBA is reducing the base salaries of approximately 100 of the league's top earning executives by 20%. Many of those work in the league's headquarters in New York, including that man, the most famous face in the league. And that, of course, is the commissioner, Adam Silver. We'll have more basketball as we go. But right now, I'm going to get to the football, and let's get to the run the hurry up here with our NFL insider, Jeff Darlington. Jeff, what's the latest on Jadeveon Clowney?
Jadeveon Clowney, Greeny, still looking for that money at this point. Now, I still continue to think that he'll wind up back in Seattle. It's a situation where these NFL restrictions make it tough for a team to spend all of that dough on a guy that they might still be wondering from a health perspective. So it makes the most sense to me if he winds up back in Seattle, gets maybe paid not quite as much as he wants, maybe even on a one-year deal to prove it for the years to come.
He was once the first pick in the draft. So was Cam Newton. Where's he going?
That's right. Another guy in the same situation where he wants that big money. He's a big polarizing name, kind of like Clowney, but also facing a dire situation with his health. Do we continue to wonder whether he's got the shoulder and the foot in good shape? A team necessarily can't dictate that without getting him into the building. I still think the second wave, the real wave of free agency, doesn't come until after this coronavirus situation is over.
And then another number one overall pick, Jameis Winston. How about him?
I sound like a bad record here, but I'm going to say it again. It's a situation where now, not necessarily from a health perspective, but potentially from a character perspective. Teams want to sit down with Jameis Winston. I was talking to one general manager of a quarterback needy team, basically pointed out though, unless you can bring him into the facility and really feel him out and where he is in his life, it might be tough to commit. So all three guys, Greeny, facing situations where these NFL restrictions are making very difficult for a team to fully invest.
And then there's Dak Prescott. The Cowboys are continuing contract discussions with him. Ed Werder reporting that a source wouldn't describe a contract resolution as close, but said discussions are not contentious, and that when it's all said and done, Prescott will emerge as the highest paid NFL player. We had Ed a little earlier, and I've got Jeff, and I've got D. Wood joining the party this morning. Damian Woody is with us, along with Booger. And so, Jeff Darlington, I'll start with you. What are you hearing about the latest with Dak Prescott?
Well, finally, somebody I can talk to about that doesn't have to do with the NFL restrictions on them, because that is obviously not the case. These guys know each other as well as anybody. To me, it's still a matter of not the money. I think that the Cowboys are willing to pay him the money at this point. Now it's the structure of the deal. When you start to get to that point, I feel like you're at least getting closer. By all means, there's no real reason at this point to rush. The deadline, in my opinion, becomes midsummer when it comes to getting long-term deals done with these franchise players. So put July 15th on your calendar. Until then, honestly, the leverage really isn't in anybody's court. They just kind of need to kind of hunker down and figure out if they can figure this out before the imposed deadline.
D. Wood, you're new to the party this morning, so I'll give it to you here. Do you, when I say the words Dak Prescott will be the highest paid player in the history of professional football, what thought jumps through your mind?
It wouldn't surprise me. You know, a lot of people equate, you know, when somebody's up for a contract, oh, he has to be the best at his position. No, that's not the case. I mean, listen, Kirk Cousins got one of the highest paid contracts. I think the highest paid contracts when he signed his three all guaranteed deal. It's about the timing. It's about when you hit the market at the right time. And for Dak Prescott, this is a guy who's a fourth round pick, and he has the second most wins since coming to league under Tom Brady, behind Tom Brady. So if you're Dak Prescott right now, you've seen Carson Wentz, you've seen Jared Goff, you've seen these other guys get their money. So Dak Prescott's like, okay, I'm looking to leapfrog them to keep pushing the market forward.
Let me ask you this, Booger, because I haven't had you on in a while. Let's say that, and I don't think this is what's expected, but if they cannot figure out a deal with Dak by the middle of July, and he has to play the year on the franchise tag or not play, do you think he should sign it, or do you think he should go hang out wherever it was Zeke spent last year in Cabo and wait for Jerry to come?
Well, granted, that all depends on where Dak Prescott wants to eventually play, because I think if he wants to be in Dallas, the thing I would do is at some point sign the deal, come out, be taught by Mike McCarthy, and continue to improve, and eventually you think the deal will get done. I just think it's a shame that we're at this point. I mean, how many franchise quarterbacks that have done things the right way, that are generally liked by their organization, their teammates have nothing bad to say about it, have to go through this? I just think that we're at a point right now where a lot of people and some NFL analysts can't even wrap their heads around it, saying Dak Prescott is going to be the highest paid player in football. And I don't know why. He's actually earned that, Green. If you go back and look at the last 4 years, the tape that he's put on film, how he's played, what he's done, he's been a model citizen on and off the field, and he has improved year after year. For some reason, though, we all ask this question, can we wrap our brains around Dak Prescott being the highest paid player in the NFL? Yeah, I can, because it's his turn. He's earned it, and if you project what he could be in the future, I think his ceiling is as high as anybody out there, maybe aside from Patrick Mahomes.
Maybe the most important thing you said there was, it's his turn. The guy who is the highest paid is not the best one. It's always the next one. And I'll read it to you again. Hambo sent it to me. These have been the highest paid players in the NFL since 2010. It was Aaron Rodgers. Then it was Joe Flacco. Then Andrew Luck. Then Derek Carr. Matthew Stafford. Jimmy Garoppolo. Kirk Cousins. Matt Ryan. Aaron Rodgers again. And then Russell Wilson. It's just about when your deal comes up. Dak is next in line. He's going to get the money. And that's the way it works in the NFL. Guys, stay with me. We're coming back to more football. But we've got to get to LeBron, because he spoke extensively yesterday for the first time since the NBA suspended its season. He was a guest on the Road Trippin' podcast with, among others, our own Richard Jefferson. And LeBron explained some of the challenges the NBA faces as it hopes to get back on the court, especially if games resume without fans.
Having a game without fans is just, what is sport? What is the worst sport without fans. There's no excitement. There's no crying. There's no joy. And there's no back and forth. There's no rhyme or reason that you want to go on a road and just dethrone the home team because of their fans and vice versa. Like, that's what also brings up the competitive side of the players, to know that you're going on the road in a hostile environment. And yes, you're playing against that opponent in front of you, but you really want to kick the fans' ass too.
And LeBron said all of that and more on your podcast, Richard Jefferson. And we are delighted you got up early for us this morning out in L.A. What was your primary reaction to that part of the conversation? Well, LeBron, it's not the first time he has suggested that he would be very hesitant to play games if the fans aren't in the buildings.
I don't think he's necessarily hesitant, because he understands that he's not bigger than the league. No one player is bigger. I think for him, he was just talking about, he doesn't know what the experience would be. No one wants to play without fans. No one wants that experience. He's just saying he doesn't know. He doesn't, like, for his entire career, and everybody that plays sports, especially on that level, understand that there's a component that your brain is geared to. Okay, we're going to a hostile environment. We're going to go play in Boston, and the crowd is going to be this. So that's just a part of your preparation. So to take all of that away, that's just something that I think is foreign for a lot of people.
Yeah, I think basketball, where the fans are so much closer to the action, so much more a part of the experience for the players. In football, I think it would be quite different. What else did you take away from the conversation? The most important pieces. We played earlier a soundbite about talking about what LeBron would like to see if and when the NBA is able to return this year. What did you think was the most important part there?
I think that the most important part is when he talked about how his body can decondition very quickly now that he is older. So, you know, it doesn't matter what this time off is going to do for all the different players. When you're a mid-30 player and your body can decondition very, very quickly, everyone makes it seem like in a month, in 2 months, or in 3 weeks, whenever we get this thing started, all of these teams are just going to just keep going like ho-hum. No, there's going to be a huge component of who stayed in shape, who had access to a gym. This is not like a lockout where everybody is able to train together or train individually or play basketball. Guys can't even get to basketball. There's guys that have no access to gyms. So I think for the one thing that I took away from him is like how he's trying to keep his body and mind sharp. And that goes for a lot of players. That's going to be the most difficult part when the season does start back up.
And then how about if we are fortunate enough that they're able to come back and play and create whatever a playoff scenario might be and have a champion, what do you see that looking like? How would you like to see that work out?
I honestly really think that the final spot should be some sort of play in. They've talked about all the different things to change the NBA, about changing the schedule and doing this. Well, one of the things that was proposed is maybe a play in game for 8. Well, I think now if you have 4 or 5 teams, maybe everyone plays against each other 5 or 6 times, right? Or across that kind of group. And then you have a play-in for that final spot, maybe a best out of 3 to see who gets the opportunity to go against the Lakers, which, again, we talked about Portland. Portland gets everybody back. They get Nurkic back, possibly Zach Collins back. You added Carmelo. That could be the team rolling into Los Angeles at the 8th seed. Now, that's something that could pose a lot of problems.
Boy, would I love to have that conversation in the next couple of weeks, and I really hope we do. Hey, quickly, finally, you got him on your podcast. How'd you do that? Who's your booker? That's quite a booking.
I don't have a booker. Allie Clifton is the one that organized it. And I think he was so bored that he just wanted me and Channing Frye to say really, really stupid things and make him laugh. Very similar to why you have me on your show and why you miss me so dear. You're just like, what is this idiot going to say today? Let's talk to him.
Correct. If that's what he's looking for, you're just the man to do it. Richard, thank you, my friend. It is genuinely great to see you. Be well. We'll
see
you again.
Good to see you, Greeny.
As soon as we can. That's Richard Jefferson. Yeah. As we continue, if the Dolphins want Tua, they're going to have to move up in the draft. So says one of our experts, and he'll explain why coming up. Plus, if Tampa fans hope to watch Tom Brady throwing to Antonio Brown, those hopes were crushed yesterday. You will hear that directly from the coach. We'll do all of that after we do this sneaky Hembo time. And Darlington, this one's for you. Who was the last quarterback drafted in the top 5 that did not start a single game as a rookie? That's the question. The answer is next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Hello. this is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island, and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with Geico? We could save money, and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
Geico. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
Sneaky Hembo is back on Get Up, and so is Jeff Darlington, and let's see how you do, Jeff. Who was the last quarterback drafted in the top five that did not start a single game as a rookie?
This is tough, Greeny. Jake Locker, I know, did not start, but he was not top five. I feel like Jamarcus Russell had to at least start one game, but I'm going to say Jamarcus Russell.
And that is, you're right, he did start at least one game. The answer is Philip Rivers. Philip Rivers in 2004
so I'm not right.
in San Diego
really?
Playing behind Drew Brees
wow.
is the correct answer. Did not start a single game, having been a top five
good
pick.
Good one, Hembo.
Hembo,
good
two
one.
For two on this day. Meanwhile, that brings us
very
to Mel.
Very good.
He released his mock draft 3.0 earlier this week. He moved down former Alabama quarterback Tua Tagovailoa from Detroit at number 3 to Miami at number 5. We also saw Tua post this video updating teams on his conditioning. And a lot of people, including our Dan Orlovsky, were very impressed with what they saw on that video. So, Darlington, I'm going to start with you again here because one of the real questions is, can the Dolphins, I feel like the entire draft has been framed this way. Can the Dolphins sit still at 5 and feel confident they're going to get him? What is your sense right now?
So the only thought, the only reason I believe that they potentially have the ability to sit at 5 comes back to the fact that teams no longer can really do physicals on players, and that might take us all the way up to the draft. If that indeed proves to be the case, how much is a team really going to be willing to give up to basically take their whole future and put it into the idea that they have not even seen this guy perform at a physical level? You know you're getting the leader that you want. The question is, are you getting the healthy player? So in theory, I could see the Dolphins getting him at 5. I just all along have always felt like it was going to take something significant to get from 5 to 3 to get Tua, because the Chargers are a team at 6 that seemingly also would be willing to do the same.
Now we have a new face that has joined the mix, and forgive me for not having introduced him more quickly. Damian Woody is back with us again from, again, his palatial estate that looks like a Roman Colosseum from that view behind him. I'm going to ask you this question. He's got chariot racing going on in his lawn a little later today. Let me ask you the question this way. Here's the question. I'm making you the general manager of a team. This is your life. This is your livelihood. Are you willing to bet that on trading up and taking Tua with whatever it is that you think you'll know by April 23rd about his physical condition?
I'm not willing to do that. Listen, I think Jeff touched on it when he was talking. You know, with everything that's going on right now, usually in a normal environment, you would have, you know, read checks. You would have personal workouts, teams being able to kind of get their hands on the player and check them out for themselves. But with everything in disarray this offseason, I don't know if I'm a general manager, I'm not giving out extra capital to go up to a guy who I think is a great, great talented quarterback position, but he has a lot of questions as far as the medical, with two surgeries on the ankle and then obviously the most recent one that is the hip. So as great of a talent as Tua is, I don't think I could give up capital to go up and move up, you know, a couple of spots in the first round.
Let's talk about that talent, Booger. You live your life in that SEC world. You got Joe Burrow, who led your beloved LSU Tigers to a championship, and you've got Tua, who we've all seen star for basically the last 3 years. If Tua wasn't hurt, who would you take first?
Well, I mean – to me, Greeny, that's a coin flip. You could take Burrow or Tua, but, you know, the health is really the big question. I think Tua had people talking about in Miami tanking for Tua, because if you look at the accuracy, you look at the timing, you look at the decision making, which I think are three vital components of a quarterback, he checks the box on all three of those. The problem is you don't know what the health is going to be. And I think that's the reason why Miami is sitting there saying, okay, if Cincinnati takes Burrow at one, the Redskins take Young at two, the Lions take the corner, Okuda at three, the Giants don't have a linebacker to speak of, I think, that they would feel great about, can take Simmons at four. Now, if you're sitting there at five and you're the Dolphins, who is a threat to get Tua? Maybe the Chargers, maybe the Carolina Panthers. I think the line, at five, I think the Dolphins have to ask themselves the questions, are the Chargers willing to jump above them to go and get Tua? If not, I think they can sit there at five and take Tua and feel pretty good about it.
You're probably right about which teams are the biggest threats, Jeff, right? Because I had been considering the Raiders in this conversation, but they're so far down. You've got the Chargers at six. Carolina makes the signing of Teddy Bridgewater. Maybe they're out of it. The Raiders feel like they would, from where they are, they'd have to give up a lot to move that high, right?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the Dolphins, too, they've got the ammunition as well. They've got the three first-round picks to make that move. So even if another team wanted to move in there, it feels like the Dolphins, if they're really secure with Tua, have all the ammunition to be the one to do it.
All right, guys, stay with me here as we continue. I also want to show you something fun that happened yesterday. You know, a lot of college students around the country are adjusting to virtual classes. My daughter is one of them. But yesterday at the University of Tennessee, one online class was interrupted by a very special surprise guest. Enjoy this.
Mr. Thompson, I think you were late for class.
I'm sorry, Dr. Haas. It's been a while. It's been at least since 1996, 97 since I've been in class. So I got my Tennessee hat on, Doc. I hope you can see that.
I can. So. You know, this could maybe launch another career for you, because if you enjoy this at-home teaching, you know, you can go to graduate school here, and I will make sure to save an assistantship for you.
Okay, perfect. You do that, and once we get back to normal, I'll take you up on that.
A lot of fun with Peyton Manning. As we continue, if you had hopes of Antonio Brown and Tom Brady reuniting in Tampa, forget it. You'll hear why next.
Geico gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday, Social Security, is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my Social Security number? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
Geico, always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
We are back on Get Up and back to football, where Buccaneers head coach Bruce Arians put to rest speculation that Antonio Brown might join Tom Brady in Tampa. He was on the Radio.com's Tiki and Tierney show yesterday. Arians made it clear signing Brown is not in the plan.
What's the likelihood AB gets back in Tampa?
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
There you go.
It's not going to happen. There's no room.
Yeah.
You know, and probably not enough money, but it's just not going to happen. It's not a fit here.
If he says, I'm coming in on the veteran minimum, coach, I just want to play with Tom, you still wouldn't find a way to get him in?
No.
Is it just because you don't trust what he could do to the culture? Why so steadfast that you would not give it a chance?
Yeah, I just know him, and it's not a fit in our locker room.
Wow. I mean, that's a pretty definitive statement for a guy to make when he doesn't have to at all. Jeff Darlington, what more can you tell us?
So there is history here, and I think it is important to shed some light on the context. First of all, they spent a couple seasons together in Pittsburgh when Arians was the offensive coordinator. Everything was fine then. It was last year when Arians kind of pointed out or said that Antonio Brown used the word diva, that he wasn't this way when he was in Pittsburgh, to which Brown then responded on Twitter to essentially say, who's the diva? You wear those Kangol hats and those glasses. You're the diva too. And I think basically if you make fun of Bruce Arians' hat and glasses, you're pretty much blackballed from his life. So I think that's what we're dealing with here. Just essentially tension that these two guys don't feel like they can remedy in any capacity.
That's remarkable. All right, Jeff, I'll leave you you to tend to whatever is going on in your lawn outside there. Thank you very much for jumping in.
I'm sorry about that, man. This is...
Listen.
It's so true. They're doing the blower right outside, Greeny, right outside the lodge.
Listen, it's got to get done. I mean, we're all good with that.
Greeny, I'm texting my wife. Can you tell this guy to shut up?
It's all right. Tell him he's on TV. It's all working out fine. No worries. D-Wood, let me come to you because we talked about this earlier. I mean, Bruce Arians absolutely did not have to say that. He could have made a non-committal statement. Do you feel like he has permanently shut the door on the notion of bringing Antonio Brown to Tampa?
I do. I mean, because the biggest thing was, it's not about Antonio Brown on the football field. Everyone knows that he's really, you know, still one of the best wide receivers in the game of football, competes at practice. But the key was in the locker room. When he said that, that told me everything I need to know, because that's what everyone is scared to bring into their facility, is a bad guy into your locker room and mess up your locker room culture. We know that Antonio Brown can go out there and get it done. But there's too many incidences that's happened off the field with Antonio Brown where Bruce Arians is basically saying, listen, I got a new quarterback that I got to get indoctrinated into my office and get him having that special relationship with all the skill position people we have here. And now to bring in Antonio Brown in here, that would just be too toxic, too much for what we're trying to get done.
Now, Booger, you told us earlier this morning, for those just joining us, that you know that these things can always be changed, and maybe they change their mind and they decide to bring him in at a later date. Would you want him, as a player, would you right now want Antonio Brown to come to your team and join your locker room?
Greeny, probably not, but it's not necessarily about what I would want. It's about what I think could help us win. I play with a lot of different personalities, guys that you probably wouldn't bring home, i.e. like Tom Brady brought Antonio Brown to live with him. I wouldn't bring guys home to eat at my dinner table, but it's not about that. It's about when we step between those white lines, who can give us the best chance to win. And as football players, we have to suck it up sometimes. You're not going to always play with your friends. You're not always going to play with guys that you like. And I think at some point we have to understand, and I said this earlier, when circumstances change, I'm allowed to change my opinion. So at some point, maybe this year, next year, it doesn't really matter. Tom Brady signed 2 fully guaranteed years in Tampa. Greeny, he can get whatever he wants in Tampa. If they ever get in a situation where one of those great wide receivers that they have gets hurt, don't you think that Tom Brady has vouched for Antonio Brown once already? He'll do it again. So I understand what Bruce Arians is saying. He's saying probably what every coach should say right now. But understand this, at some point when things change, you're allowed to change your opinion. And I'm not saying Bruce Arians will, but maybe at that point he may have a change of heart.
All right, we will see. All right, Jeff, go tend to the lawn. Thank you very much. We appreciate it very much. We have no doubt. You know what? Tweet pictures of what your lawn looks like after this process. And thank you very much for jumping in.
It better be fabulous.
Let's talk about, however, the division that Tom Brady now comes to. Perhaps no division of football this offseason has brought in more talent than the NFC South. Every team has gone out and added big names. You got Todd Gurley, you got Teddy Bridgewater, you got Malcolm Jenkins, and of course the biggest of them all is Tom Brady. So let's start with this. Booger, in your mind, is the NFC South now the best division in the NFL?
Pretty close, Greeny, and I think you got to look at the quarterbacks. And for me, what I would do is I would look at Drew Brees, Tom Brady, Matt Ryan, guys that have been to Super Bowls, guys that have won MVPs in this league. And I think you have to start right there. And I understand that doesn't make up the entire team, but if you have a really good quarterback, it gives you an opportunity to stack up and win just about every game you play. And so I think the NFC South is going to be really, really deep. And oh, by the way, we didn't even bring up Teddy Bridgewater, who went 5-0 last year with the New Orleans Saints. He's going to be paired with Joe Brady in Carolina. So I think there's a lot of positivity and optimism there. It's going to be a very, very good division, especially when the GOAT Tom Brady joins it.
How about, what do you think, D-Wood?
I'm going to go with the NFC West. I think when you look at the NFC West with Seattle, they've added pieces. Russell Wilson is one of the, you know, top 2 or 3 quarterbacks in the National Football League. The 49ers are still stacked. They're still a very talented team coming off the Super Bowl. The Arizona Cardinals, to me, is on a come up. Kyler Murray had a spectacular rookie season. You just added DeAndre Hopkins to the mix. They're going to add more pieces in the draft. And then, obviously, you talk about the Los Angeles Rams just looking to bounce back this year after having that Super Bowl run the year prior. So I still think the NFC West is the top division in the National Football League.
It's remarkable when you think about it. The Rams were in the Super Bowl, whatever that is, 14 months ago, and here we are talking about them as the afterthought in the NFC West. You know, I think this is an important discussion, Berger, because, as we know, the one rule change that will come into play this coming year is they will add a playoff team in both conferences, which means only one team gets a bye. So being in the toughest division makes it much, much less likely that Brady, for example, will wind up getting that bye, which has been so critical in the NFL. No team without a bye has made the Super Bowl since 2012. Now, obviously, that changes this year because only one team is going to get a bye in either place. But, Booger, that's a very important consideration this season.
Without a doubt, Greeny. But I think you can go back and look throughout Tom Brady's career and you can compare the talent that he's had with what he has right now. And I can make an argument. It may not be more, but he has as much talent offensively than he's ever had when you look at the weapons that he has here in Tampa. And if Tom Brady just plays to his average level, I think you get a small glimpse of why everybody is so excited about Tom Brady in Tampa and what could be with this offense. And oh, by the way, we didn't even mention that young defense that was balling toward the end of the season last year.
Yeah, with Todd Bowles coordinating it, who's a very good defensive coach. Guys, well done. Thank you. Meanwhile, tomorrow is UFC Fight Night with three unforgettable bouts. We lit off with what could be the greatest women's fight ever. Happened just weeks ago at UFC 248. Zhang Joanna was the fight. And then it's Tony Ferguson and Cowboy Cerrone. And then we finish it up with a lightweight title fight between Habib and Poirier. It all starts tomorrow at 8 Eastern on ESPN and the ESPN app. All right. Some might be surprised that before starting one of the funniest Twitter feeds on the planet, Rex Chapman played some basketball. He did that and more. And we will take a block or a charge with him live next. Get up on ESPN.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at Geico, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now it's our turn to share with the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
Howdy, Rex Chapman.
Rex Chapman? Rex Chapman?
That charred.
Chapman with a steal. Chapman.
There was intense attention paid to everything.
You're probably the biggest folk hero, I guess, since Hulk Hogan.
A former player who you might remember as T-Rex.
My life had gone to sh**.
He was a guy searching. What's the next thing in life? And he finally found it.
Let's play blocker chart.
Getting this new act has, in some ways, saved his life.
Let's do it.
I've been looking forward to this all week. Those of you who are old enough to remember, he was one of the biggest stars in college basketball in years. He played 12 years in the NBA, and now you know him because he's the best follow on Twitter. He is Rex Chapman. But the story of what happened in between those things is something you will learn about tonight, and it is remarkable. And Rex, first of all, good morning, and thank you for taking a minute here. How would you describe how you went from being a basketball star to doing what you're doing today?
Confusing. I lost a lot of time, Greeny. I've been telling people for 2 days I was going on Mike and Mike in the morning. man, you know, life is weird and life is hard. I wish somebody would have told me that when I was young. I always felt like I had kind of a charmed life. But opioid addiction really zapped me. I spent about 15 years battling in and out, rehab two or three times. And if not for countless friends and family, I'm not sure I would be here today. I was taking a lot of pain medicine and just trying to get by, and ran off the rails.
You will be able to hear and see a lot of this story tonight again on E60, and including pieces of it where you were living in a car and things like that. But what I'd like to ask you about here is, how did the Twitter feed help save you?
You know, I'm not sure. I think that I was really down a year or two ago politically, just the toxic climate, and wanted off of social media. But, you know, you got to have a little bit of a social media presence anymore to do kind of stuff that we do. entertainment wise. So just one day I found this random video of a dolphin and it on a guy on a paddleboard swimming out toward a dolphin, and it knocked it, the dolphin knocked him off, hit him right in the chest. I said to myself, that's a charge, and tweeted it out. And of course, basketball people got it and thought it was funny, and it just kind of took off. It's the silliest thing ever. None of the content is mine. It's other people's videos. I've made friends in the Netherlands, in London, got people that would just find videos and send them to me. So that part of it's really easy. I just really, at this point, I'm not naturally a happy person all the time. I've suffered with depression my whole life pretty much. So I'm trying to fake my way through this confusing time as much as anybody. If I can bring a smile to somebody's face, you know, once or twice a day, then that, I think that's good for right now.
Well, you're doing that. I can tell you that. And you may be best known for Block or Charge, but I can tell you that my wife, and I think a lot of other people, are particularly fond of Dogs Bruh. Where'd you come up with the idea for, and I'm probably not saying that well, but you know what I mean?
No,
Dogs Bruh.
You're on it. Dogs Bruh, right?
Yeah.
Who doesn't like dogs? At one point, I guess, sometime over the last year, I thought, you know, you can only show so much of people getting jacked up, hit by cars and bikes and all kinds of stuff. So you got to mix it up a little bit. And thought, everybody loves dogs. Not everybody, but most people, I think. I've always had a dog. I'm not a cat person. I'm allergic to cats, except for these cats.
Mm-hmm.
The real Wildcats, not the JV Wildcats like your guy Richard Jefferson played for out there.
Mm-hmm.
but no, good. University of Kentucky and the NBA and my family at Turner really have helped me, get back on my feet. People standing by me. So hopefully I'll make them proud this go around.
I want to share one other exchange because there have to be some pinch me moments in here. And there was an exchange that you had with Luke Skywalker, which I would like to share with everybody. So if I understand the way this thing worked out right, your daughter tweeted at Mark Hamill because she saw that Mark Hamill follows you. So she tweeted, hey, Mark Hamill, you follow my dad. And there's a good chance you might see this, but you are very, very cool. And I hope you're having a good day. And Luke Skywalker tweeted back at your daughter. Your dad has one of the more entertaining Twitter accounts I've ever seen. I'm sure there have been a lot of big moments for you, Rex. Where'd that one land?
A huge, unbelievable. And in fact, I didn't know that until just now. I knew he liked her tweet. And let me just tell you, if there's a little girl out there who deserved this, Tatum Chapman deserved it. She texted me the other night after he simply liked her tweet. And she said, I'm going to cry. So she's so happy. And that just makes everything perfect.
Well, that is great. Listen, it is yours is a remarkable story, and it will premiere tonight, Being Rex Chapman, 7 o'clock Eastern on ESPN. I wish you the best. I enjoy the heck out of it, and so does everybody I know. Be well, my man. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Greeny. Anytime.
It's Rex Chapman. Again, you'll see the E60 tonight. Also coming up, if you're missing baseball, we'll have you covered tomorrow on ESPN and the ESPN app, starting noon Eastern with four of the greatest nine-inning strikeout games ever. Roger Clemens did it twice. We start with his first 20-strikeout game in 86, Kerry Wood's jam in 98, then you'll see Randy Johnson in 2001 and Max Scherzer in 2016. All a lot of strikeouts coming your way noon on ESPN tomorrow. Meanwhile, coming up on First Take, which follows us in just a few minutes, LeBron James outlined a plan to get the NBA back on the court. Does it make sense to Stephen A. and Max? They'll tell you, following us on ESPN. Get Up is brought to you by Disney Plus. All of your favorites, all in one place. Sign up today. After we wrap up, Get Up here, it's First Take, and then SportsCenter continues breaking down the college basketball greatest player bracket. Then we'll have NFL Live this afternoon. SportsCenter comes back 5 Eastern and finish your day with SportsCenter with Scott Van Pelt 15 minutes earlier than normal tonight, 10:45 Eastern. We are here with you through all of this with the sports on ESPN. And one of the big stories in football, Buccaneers head coach Bruce Arians has shut the door on bringing Antonio Brown to Tampa. He was on Radio.com's Tiki and Tierney show yesterday. Listen to this.
What's the likelihood AB gets back in Tampa?
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
There you go.
It's not going to happen. There's no room.
Yeah.
And probably not enough money, but it's just not going to happen. It's not a fit here.
If he says, I'm coming in on the veteran minimum, coach, I just want to play with Tom, you still wouldn't find a way to get him in?
No.
Is it just because you don't trust the
what he could do to the culture. Why so steadfast that you would not give it a chance?
Yeah, I just know him, and it's not a fit in our locker room.
Wow, I'll say it again. And there's Stephen A. Smith getting set for First Take, which is 5 minutes away. Stephen A., what'd you think of that?
No problem with it whatsoever. The only issue I would have with it is if Tom Brady said, I want Antonio Brown, because I think that when you guarantee your new quarterback that's a six-time champion, you know, when you sign him to $50 million guaranteed, and then you tell him he can't have what he wants, that's a problem. But as long as Tom Brady is an insistent upon it, I definitely support Bruce Arians. He coached Antonio Brown. He would know. Not to mention the fact that in the last year alone, he's thrown Big Ben Roethlisberger, a former teammate, under the bus. He's thrown Juju Smith-Schuster under the bus by revealing his private DMs to Antonio Brown. This is what Antonio Brown did. He sat up there and stood up John Gruden, and then, you know, called Mike Mayock, the GM for the Oakland Raiders at the time, out of his name. All of these things. He's insulted Robert Kraft. Just a litany of things that has gone on. And he has been indiscriminate. Let's not accuse him of prejudice now. Players, coaches, former teammates, present teammates, coaches, GMs, owners. He's attacked everybody. You simply can't trust him. And to put it in his proper perspective, I mean, it doesn't get any worse than when Drew Rosenhaus, your agent, feels compelled to publicize the fact that he is distancing himself from you, no pun intended, but keeping himself away from you and dropping you as a client until you get your act together. He did so publicly. Why did he do that, Greeny? Because he was afraid that if he just called Antonio Brown privately, Antonio Brown may have taped and recorded his phone calls the way that he did with Gruden and others prior to that. The man simply can't be trusted at this particular moment in time. And you can't have that in any locker room, in any sport at this particular moment in time, especially if you got Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, O.J. Howard, Cameron Brate, and those boys. Bruce Arians made the right call. He's absolutely emphatic about it. And I don't think there's a soul alive that should not support him in his position on this matter. Antonio Brown has got to get his act together as a human being, showing he can be trusted before anybody trusts him enough to bring him into their locker room.
I can't argue a word of that. I'm really looking forward to hearing you guys talking about it. First Take is on the way again. They're 3 minutes away. I'll let you get ready. Stephen A., thank you, my man. We'll see you a little bit later.
By the way.
That's Stephen A. Let me get the other guys in here now. I got Booger and D. Wood. And you know, I've taken the position all morning long that I'm surprised that Arians was so definitive. But I can't argue with what Stephen A. just said. And that wasn't even the entire litany. And it doesn't even take into account all the off-the-field stuff. So I guess, D. Wood, I'll ask you this. Do you think Antonio Brown has played his last game in the NFL?
Greeny, I think he has. I think he has. As talented as Antonio Brown is and his resume, he has a Hall of Fame resume as it stands right now. But when you talk about all the litany of things that's happened off the field and with different organizations with Antonio Brown, it's going to make it hard for anyone to bring him in the building. And I know in football, you know, your talent sometimes trump a lot of those type of things. But you also got to remember Antonio Brown is on the wrong side of 30 as well as a wide receiver. So when you have the litany of things that's happened with it, that's transpired with him off the field over the past year plus, and the fact that he's over 30, I don't know many organizations really want to put up with that, to be honest with you.
What do you think, Booger? You think we ever see him play again?
Absolutely, I do. I think the percentages say that it's going to be small, but D. Wood stated it best. Talent trumps all, and you can't tell me that a guy that has been as productive as Antonio Brown has, if and when he is reinstated by Roger Goodell and he's eligible to play, we just saw it already. Look at what he did in Oakland, recording conversations with Gruden, how he talked about Mike Mayock and all that stuff. In New England, the organization who's been the model franchise still signed him. So it's one of those things where you got to look at it. There's going to be a team at some point that's going to say, you know what? I can change him. I can bring him in and we can get him in our culture. We can get him in our group and we can make him fit in. All it takes is one. And if he is clear, Greeny, mark my word, he will play again.
Yeah, I would have thought the team with Brady would be the one. And maybe, as you said earlier, it still will. Okay, before we go, there's a picture I want to show everybody. If you were with us earlier, you heard Jeff Darlington. There was a guy, and this was basically what it sounded like. who is using a leaf blower right outside his house. And candidly, it ruined about 4 minutes of our show, but we still enjoy it. He went out. I asked him to take a picture, and indeed he did. And he posted a very nice thought. Shout out to everybody who's still out there working and getting the work done that needs to get done during these trying times. Guys, thank you. Everybody, thank you. Have a wonderful and safe weekend. We will be back and better than ever here Monday morning as we get through all of this together. First Take starts now.